Welcome to the Fellowship of Madison podcast.
Coming to you from Fellowship Baptist Church
in Madison, Florida.
Well, I'm excited about sharing this morning. This week, I was chatting with Shannon, and she was telling me some more about VBS. And one of the cool things that she mentioned is she said, Jackie, there was a little six-year-old boy that would show up to our registration desk every night that they had in the hallway. And he would ask, Miss Shannon, what are we doing tonight? And Miss Shannon would explain what the, you know, the goal and the focus was that night. And the little boy would respond to her and say, I really don't know what that is, but I know it's going to be awesome. I love that. I hope that's your attitude coming this morning. You know, I don't really know what we're going to do today, but I trust and hope that it's going to be awesome. And that's going to be what we're going to do today. And I hope that you're going to be encouraged. You'll remember that last week we started talking about spiritual gifts. And what we talked about is the fact that it's sort of like a symphony, that we are many instruments that ought to be playing one song, right? That we're gifted different ways, the scripture says, and yet those gifts are all intended to encourage one another in the faith and to impact other people in the faith. And so that's what we talked about. And today we're going to dig a little deeper, and I've just entitled this real simply, A Study in Spiritual Gifts. And we're going to go back through some of what we talked about last week, but primarily today what we're going to do is we're going to really home in and dig in deeper to what these spiritual gifts are and what they're clarified, the clarification in Scripture, and then begin, I hope, to help you to determine what gifting God's given you. If you're a follower of Jesus, He has given you a gift. You'll remember that last week we said this. We said that the Scripture says that there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different activities, but the same God works through each person. And so many of you know this, you might not, but this term for gifts is the word translated typically as charismata from the Greek. You'll notice some different terms from it. Charis is the word for grace, by the way, but charismata, or if you've heard of a charismatic, somebody who would believe in ongoing giftings and maybe practice some of the sign gifts that we'll talk about today. Or charisma, right? You've heard charisma used. Charisma is like drawing people to yourself, kind of charisma. That's a Greek term from this idea of gifts. D.A. Carson notes that this could well be translated, instead of just gifts, it could be grace gifts. Because what's clear about this is a gift that God's given. It's not something that you and I have earned, right? Like salvation, it is not something that we earn, but something that God gives us by the power of His Spirit. We also know the purpose of the different gifts, and you remember the purposes, the purpose of the gifts, the ministries, the activities, that's parallelism for the same word there, is for the common good. Remember that? It's for the common good. I appreciate how the NAT and the NLT translate this as well. They translate this as for the benefit of all, or so that we can help each other. In other words, the reason why God has given you spiritual gifting, if you're a follower of Jesus, He's given you spiritual gifting, is not so that you would keep it to yourself, but so you would use it to impact one another. We could help one another within the body. John MacArthur writes this and writes it well, so I'll quote him. He says, spiritual gifts are not natural. Now, what he means by that is they're not a natural ability. And we'll talk more about natural abilities next week as we talk about shape next week. We're just going to kind of piggyback on what we've been talking about. We're going to talk about our spiritual gifts, the heart, the way, the things you love to do, the abilities God's given you, skills and abilities He's given you, the personality God's given you, and the experiences, positive and negative, that God's allowed you to go through to shape you into who He wants you to be. But see, a lot of people, they say, well, I have the spiritual gift of carpentry, or I have the spiritual gift of singing. I have the spirit. Those aren't spiritual gifts. Those are abilities that God can give anybody. Spiritual gifts are only given, and MacArthur knows this, to believers. He says that spiritual gifts are not natural, but rather are supernaturally given by the Holy Spirit only and always to believers in Jesus Christ without exception. Spiritual gifts are special capacities bestowed on believers, listen, to equip them to minister supernaturally to others, especially to each other, again, within the body. And last week, we also noted that these gifts are determined by the Holy Spirit, not by us. Remember what the Scripture says. One and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person as, help me, as He wills, not as I will, not as you will, right? It's not the gifting that we desire. It's the gifting that He has given us. And so what we ought to do is we ought to thank God for the gifts He's given others. We ought to thank God for the gift that He's given us. And then practice that instead of saying, well, my gift's better than your gift and, you know, all that. That's craziness. The reason why these gifts are given is so that we would encourage one another, because spiritual gifts aren't to elevate the individual. They're intended to encourage the church. You with me so far? Tracking based on what we talked about last week. Now, let me give you some important considerations to consider before we dig deeper. Those who say they've got spiritual gifts figured out and such, I would caution and go, you probably don't, because there's some lack of precision and clarity. And sometimes we've got to take a shot in the dark and do our very best to understand what God intended. Let me give you some examples of what I mean. It's possible that there are more than 16 spiritual gifts mentioned. If you ask me how many spiritual gifts there are, I'm going to point you to 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, and that's where we're going to go today. And I'm going to mention 12 spiritual gifts mentioned. It's possible that some of them overlap. In other words, it's possible that Paul uses a different term to essentially mean the same spiritual gift in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. We'll talk about that. And it's important to note that some scholars certainly believe that Paul's list that he gives is not exhaustive. In other words, he's mentioning many of the giftings that were available in the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but it's not exhaustive. One of the reasons why scholars believe this is because there are two or three giftings in Romans 12 that are not in 1 Corinthians 12. And it's not likely that all the letters of Paul are being circulated in Corinth. You get the idea? So what we do is we can go, well, Romans 12 says and 1 Corinthians 12 says, but it's unlikely that the Corinthians were saying, well, Romans 12 says, you see what I'm getting at? And so there's a couple of giftings mentioned, a couple of three giftings mentioned in Romans 12, we'll talk about in a second, that aren't mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. So is it possible that there are more gifts than what are mentioned in Scripture? It is possible. It is possible. The other thing I want to mention to you is this, that the Scriptures don't clarify if these gifts are lifetime giftings or if they're specific giftings given for specific times and people and places. For example, a person who is given the spiritual gift, if this gift is still in existence, we'll talk about this in a second, spiritual gift of tongues, it's very doubtful that person's using the spiritual gift of tongues every time they're meeting with the church. And there's reasons for this based on 1 Corinthians 14 that I could give you. But it might be that they're gifted in some moments to experience this gifting and use this for the good of the church. Does that make sense? Other giftings might be lifelong giftings, like the gift of service. A person has a gift of service. We'll talk about that in a second. They're just kind of wired by the Spirit of God to serve, and they're going to do that their whole life. But what I'm getting at is there is a passage where Paul says to desire spiritual gifts, and to desire, he says, the greater gifts. And so it's possible to say, God, if there's another gifting you want to give me, I think you could pray and ask the Lord, and he would possibly do that. Does that make sense? The third thing I want to mention before we dig in deeper is this: the study that we're in 1 Corinthians, my take, and the way we're approaching this, and you can disagree with it, we can sit down and talk about it in Scripture and be kind to one another, is I take this from a continuation aspect, not a cessation aspect. I mentioned to you last week, cessation, you take big words, boil them down to smaller words. Cessationist is somebody who believes that some of the giftings have ceased. Some of the sign giftings in particular have ceased. I think they take that from a passage in 1 Corinthians 13, and I think they take that out of context. And when we come to 1 Corinthians 13 in a couple of weeks, Lord willing, we'll deal with it in context and see what Paul's really talking about. But they would say, for example, the sign gifts like tongues and interpretation of tongues and healings and miracles, those have ceased. I don't find that to be true in Scripture. And so I'm a continuationist, meaning that I think these giftings continue. And we'll talk more in depth about these in right now. So let's dig in. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. And you remember we talked about this last week, and you'll remember these giftings we mentioned briefly, and we'll dig into a little bit more today. Here's what he says. To one is given the message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healings by the one Spirit. In other words, all these are gifts, different gifts from the same Spirit of God, to God's people, to another, the performing of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, and to another, different kinds of tongues, and to another, interpretation of tongues. Let's talk about that. I asked some questions last week. Wisdom, for example. Do you know any believer that just speaks with incredible wisdom from God, right? When you need wisdom, this might be the person you go to, because God has so gifted that person with supernatural wisdom, and you would say, I recognize that. This is the type of person that is able to give God's insight and with clear biblical advice when they're confronted, even with complicated problems. You know anybody like that that's gifted that way? There are some people in our church that I think have that gifting, and God has used them that way. Knowledge. knowledge. Some are given a message of knowledge. Do you ever know a Christian who's given special insight to a situation that only God could give them that special insight? Now, this person is gifted to understand the truth that's not known by natural means all the time. In other words, by the Spirit of God that they're able to have this knowledge. And it's possible that this knowledge is actually related to teaching, which we see in Romans 12:7. It's possible there's maybe this language is used of the same thing to overlap. Why do I say that? Because this is the kind of knowledge that one gives to another to bless them, right? Which sounds a whole lot to me like the ability to give teaching to somebody that they normally couldn't understand unless they're given. Am I saying they're the same? No, I'm saying there's some similarities. And I'm wondering, because Paul doesn't mention in Romans 12 the gift of knowledge, but he does mention the gift of teaching in Romans 12. And so maybe this is it meant to be together. Also, I think there are moments based on experience and based on seeing this where, again, God can give insight to somebody about something they could not have known if it weren't from him, and God gives them supernatural knowledge to speak into an issue in our lives. Faith. You ever known somebody who has so much faith that, like, they believe God even in the most dire circumstances? You know somebody like that? It seems easy for them to believe God. It's easier for them to believe God even in difficult times. This person's enabled to trust God even when the circumstances make it difficult to believe, and they can handle the obstacles and trust God through it, even though they can't see the answer to their prayers yet. I'm grateful for people like that, right? Those are the kind of people that you want them to pray, right? You want them to pray because they just believe God. They believe God for big things. It's easy for them to believe God. Here's the next group is healing and miracles, healing and miracles. Have you ever known somebody who God has actually healed through their prayer? I gave you the example last week of my good friend, Chris Adams, a pastor who had a growth that came up on his hand, and he met another believer, and this believer wasn't gaudy, wasn't flaunting their gift. Matter of fact, Chris had no clue that this person possibly had gift of healing, and the guy came to Chris and said, "Chris, I noticed this on your hand. Is it okay if I pray with you about that?" And he said, "Yeah." And so he touched Chris's hand, and he prayed over him, and Chris tells me about this, and he's fully trustworthy, and Chris says, "Man, the next day, that thing was gone." Now, who do we give the credit to? God is the healer, correct? But is it possible that he gave this guy supernatural ability by the power of the Spirit to heal it through prayer? I think so. And I think that's a case in point. Miracles. This might be somebody who's given the ability. Again, maybe this is momentary, the ability to cast out a demon. Miracle would be defined as differentiations, right, between the two, healing and then miracles. Miracles must mean not healing, but something else, like casting out a demon. And God, I believe, can do this. Now, let me just say this. I think that healing and miracles seem to be, based on experience in my life, very limited to very few, right? This is not something everybody's given the ability to do. And there are those who teach false things that basically say, if you believe Jesus, you're going to do greater things than Jesus because Jesus said we do greater things. And so you ought to be able to cast out demons and heal. And that's not what Jesus meant. It's not what he meant. When he said you'll do greater things than me, greater things did not mean, and we've talked about this before, qualitative things. He meant quantitative things because nobody, to my knowledge, ever walked on water after Jesus, right? Nobody, to my knowledge, ever raised somebody from the dead after 4 days, right? There are things that only Jesus could do. Are you with me? But when Jesus empowered his believers by the power of his Spirit, instead of one man going into a culture and impacting it, now you've got many men and women that are going into different cultures and impacting it by the power of his Spirit. Make sense? So don't hear what I'm not saying, but here's the danger for all of us. Watch this. If we've seen false teachers, many televangelists do this. They claim to have the gift of miracles and healing and all this. And then you find out behind the scenes that the person who really shows up in the wheelchair that needs a healing, when they're in line, what they do is they pull those people out of the line that you never see them come up because there's not a real healing that's going to take place. I know some people who have seen this happen personally. They've watched this happen when people were legitimately sick. And they're like, we're going to pull them out of line. And so there's this gaudy, hey, we have healing and miracles and money comes in because of it. And here's the danger for me and the danger for you. Watch this. Is because we've seen this abused, we can throw the baby out with the bathwater. We can say God no longer heals like that through people. Isn't that true? I think that's true. And I think it's a word of warning as well that we need to believe God and trust God At the same time, we need to beware people who teach things that are false and manipulate others. Here's the next one, the gift of prophecy. Have you ever known someone who's able to speak the truth of God with boldness, even when they come under attack, right? They can speak with clarity, and they can dissect what is true from what is false. In the Old Testament, that's exactly what prophets did. By the way, most of us, when we think of prophecy, we think of future stuff, right? We hear, hey, did you hear about the prophecy? Well, in the Old Testament, I've mentioned this to you before, less than a third of the time did prophets predict something in the future. Prophecy wasn't primarily prediction of something in the future. Prophecy was primarily giving a word of warning to the disobedient or a word of encouragement to those who are obedient, right? Throughout the Old Testament prophets, you see them warning, if you don't turn back, you know, God's going to bring judgment from Nebuchadnezzar. God's going to bring judgment from Babylon. He's going to bring judgment from Assyria, right? And to those who have been judged, there's this, I've been reading Jeremiah lately, and as you read through there, right, there's moments that God's telling Jeremiah and other prophets that God's going to bring the people back to Israel, which he did, and he's encouraging them when they're in the middle of the exile that God's going to bring you back, and he encourages them through the prophets. Here's what Paul later writes in 1 Corinthians 14:3. He says, the person who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and consolation. So if we go, what is prophecy? According to Paul, it's speaking on behalf of God for a person's strengthening, encouragement, and consolation. And so those who are gifted by prophecy have the power, the empowerment from God to speak to truth that God gives them in a persuasive and many times in-your-face kind of way, right? Many prophets aren't really appreciated, but they're also able to strengthen, encourage, and confront and comfort. So pretty neat listing there. Another gifting here is being able to distinguish between spirits. This is very important, by the way. If in Corinth you've got people who are speaking up with a tongue, right? Or they're giving a prophetical message, supposedly, it's very important that you've got believers that God's equipped and gifted so that they can tell whether this is really from God or not, right? They can distinguish between what is of God and what is not of God. This is super important within the life of a body. You might have heard this as the term discernment, right? Or distinguishing between spirits, as Paul uses this language. Here's another one, tongues. Tongues is the ability to one in Acts chapter 2, if we refer to this as tongues, and it is, it's referred to as tongues of fire, that the first followers of Jesus who were Jewish were suddenly enabled to speak a language, a foreign language they did not know, but a foreign language that other foreigners did know. So a lot of people go, no, tongues is an angelic language, it's something just between you and God. Not in the scripture, it's not. Not in the scripture. And there's one passage that we could refer to, and we'll see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels. And they go, see, there's angelic language. I'm going, that's not what Paul's talking about. There's language that people could communicate the truthfulness, the goodness of God in Acts 2 through a language that they didn't know, but somebody else knew. And they were able to go, how do you know what we're speaking? God had enabled those people to speak that way, which then blew the people away who said, this is crazy. You don't speak our language, and yet suddenly you speak our language in a way that we can understand. The other thing that we see in 1 Corinthians is God enables some with the gift of tongues to speak in a foreign language. Here's the kicker, though, and this is always attached to the next gifting, which is the interpretation of tongues. So there would be someone who would stand up and speak in a language unknown to most of the believers, and someone is immediately given the ability to interpret that tongue and tell the people in their language what it means. You might go, Jackie, what's the purpose of that? Well, again, I've got to be careful not to throw the baby out of the bathwater, because I've been around this situation where tongues supposedly is spoken. I personally have never heard an interpretation of the tongue. And when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you're going to see Paul's like, nuh-uh. If you speak in a tongue, there needs to be an interpretation. He also says some other things like only two or three should speak in a tongue and never at the same time. Well, when I've been in a church service where it happens, I hear it all around. All around, right? It's like weird, right? And Paul's going, don't do that. Don't do that. That's not the way it's supposed to work. The danger is for Jackie, and maybe the danger for you, because I've seen it misused, I can throw the whole thing out and say, God doesn't use that anymore. But how cool would it be if God took us to a foreign country and maybe we did our work to try to learn a little bit of language, but somehow he empowers us to actually speak the language fluently to share the gospel. That would be awesome. That wouldn't freak me out. That would be like, God, you are incredible. Wouldn't it be Wouldn't it be that way? Or if God spoke to the church through a tongue and then there was interpretation. By the way, one of the reasons why this is, I think, this is more prolific in the first century than it likely is, than I've ever seen it. Again, I've never seen it done with tongues and interpretation in church situation, although I have friends who say they have seen it happen that way, which to God be the glory on that. Check this out. Is probably because the Corinthians did not have all the Gospels. The Corinthians probably didn't have, as I mentioned earlier, the letter to the Romans or the rest of the letters that Paul had written. The Corinthians didn't have the letter from James, the brother of Jesus, or Jude, or Revelation, or the writing of Hebrews. You with me? What do we have the privilege of today? The entire scope of the Old and the New Testament scriptures, right? So if you don't have the New Testament scriptures, how do you know what God's will is? How do you know? Well, you ask, right? How might God reveal his will? Well, what if he spoke through somebody and interpreted through somebody to give clarity to the body on what he's calling them to do, right? Can God do that today? Yes, I think so. However, God's given us his scriptures, and I don't know why this is as necessary as it was then. You guys with me so far? You tracking? You doing good? Okay, very good. Thank you for staying aboard. Now, Paul mentions three more gifts in the same passage. And before we mention those gifts specifically, let me mention a couple of the important roles that Paul mentions. Here's what he says. Now, you are the body of Christ and individual members of it, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles, and second, prophets, third, teachers, next, miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, leading, various kinds of tongues. We'll talk about those. Here's the two groups that I want you to notice. He mentions apostles, and he mentions prophets that played a prominent role both in the New Testament, apostles, and Old Testament prophets. Matter of fact, Paul in Ephesians, here's what he writes to the Ephesians about these same groups. Here's what he says. So then, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of who? The apostles and who? And prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. The position of apostle was very specific in the New Testament. It was very specific, those in particular who had been in Jesus' ministry from the beginning, who had seen Jesus physically resurrected from the dead. If you remember in Acts chapter 1, you can read about it. After Judas has killed himself, they're trying to replace Judas, and they replace him with Matthias, and they're talking about two different guys, but the key is they recognize this guy had to be with Jesus from the beginning. In other words, there were other disciples besides the 12, you know that, and had to see Jesus physically resurrect from the dead. You with me? There are a couple other people that the same term is used for apostle, apostolos in Greek. And there are a couple others that are used in the New Testament. And I think it's used more in the correlation to the aspect that they are sent out as missionaries, which is what the word apostolos means ultimately. But here's the danger. A lot of people today, if you see a spiritual gift test, one of the things that's going to be on a spiritual gift test is the gift of apostleship. And what they might mean by that is the gift of being a missionary. I think that's stretching to a conclusion that Paul's not giving. I think the apostles were specific people that God called, and here's what I am getting at. There are no more apostles today. Are there others who are sent out by God as missionaries? Absolutely. Are there any that are apostles? Get this, that the foundation of the message of Jesus is built on them. No, they've passed away. They've passed away. You might say, wait a second, Jackie. Wait, Paul calls himself a what? An apostle, and yet Paul wasn't there from the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He is the exception. And what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he calls himself a man who was untimely born. In other words, he's saying, I wasn't there during the ministry of Jesus. I wasn't there. And he actually calls himself the least of the apostles in the same passage because, get this, not only was he there, not there during the ministry of Jesus, but he actually persecuted followers of Jesus. And he's like, I am privileged to be an apostle, but I don't deserve it. Okay? And here's the deal. Here's what I would say. If Jesus gave Paul the exception, then I'm saying Paul's an apostle too. You with me? If Jesus calls Paul out and says, I want you to be an apostle to the Gentiles, and the other apostles recognize him as a brother in the Lord and co-equal, then I'm good with that. Does that make sense? You might go, wait, it's an exception. Well, he's the one. He's the one exception. Prophets had foretold in the Old Testament about the coming of the Messiah, of course, and Jesus showed up. And further, there were prophets in the New Testament. Matter of fact, remember, he talks about those who have the spiritual gift of what? Prophecy. And he's writing to the first century church at that time, people who spoke boldly by the Spirit But they, get this, they would always speak truth based on what the apostles taught. And so the picture is that the apostles are the leaders, the prophets come up under them. And then there are the teachers. Then there are the teachers. And so we get to these other three right here. Now, you are the body of Christ, he says, and you are individual members of it. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, and third teachers. Teachers. What is teachers? Teaching are those who have the ability to explain the truths of God, the difficult truths of God, in a way that helps other people understand it better. As I read through the Old Testament, there's a really cool story as Ezra is able to bring the words of the scripture to the people, and he trains the priests who are going to bring the words to the people. And one of the things God tells Ezra, and Ezra tells these priests, is that they are to explain the word of God so the people can understand the words of God. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? You ever heard a really hard teaching and God used somebody to really teach it in such a way you're like, I have some clarity now, and I didn't have that before, right? And so some people have the gift of teaching. They're able to explain and train others with real life applications from the scripture. And again, all of us have different giftings. This is the gifting I believe that God has given to me. Here's the next one. Watch this. Helps, or also referred to as service, helping or service. And again, this is mentioned in Romans 12:7 as well. Do you know anybody who just loves to help behind the scenes? You know anybody like that? Like, they don't want to be in the spotlight. They're like, I'm not a teacher, right? But they'll do some of the dirty work. They'll do the difficult stuff. They'll be the ones cooking. They'll be the ones who are serving behind the scenes. They do the work. They get this. If that work doesn't get done, then some of the other things that need to happen don't get done either, right? Isn't that right? You know some people like that? There's a pile of you in here, I think, that have that gifting. And it's sort of like the ants, right? That just continue to work and serve, and they don't need to be in the spotlights. It might be cooking, cleaning. It might be preparing for environments. It might be cleaning church grounds. It might be serving other people's basic needs. I'm grateful that we have many people, I think, in the church body that are here. In short, this is the person who they smile at the opportunity to serve, and they don't need any applause from people. They're just like, this is how God has gifted me. And I'm looking at some of you, and that's you. Right? Another is leading and administration. Leading and administration. You know anybody who's just a gifted leader, just able to motivate people, right? And able to call other people to their side, somebody who motivates people for a common purpose and give clear direction. 1 Corinthians also mentions here, and this is significant, that word for leading, sometimes the ESV and the NAS translate that as administration. And so, again, this is one of those that I think sometimes we might think we've got it all figured out. See, I've always seen administration as this gifting of, you know, being able to dot the I's and cross the T's. And is that right? I got it right. Yeah, I got it right. Sometimes I do it opposite. Dot the I's, cross the T's, and you know, pull together the resources and all, again, behind-the-scenes stuff that has to happen, administrating things that need to happen. Here's what I do know, that leaders who have this ability to resource and pull things together, that is wonderful. But if you've got somebody who is leading who doesn't have that ability, they need people like that. I need somebody like a Christy Adams. You hear me? Right? This is Christy in a nutshell. She's able to motivate and help, you know, bring people together. And this is one of the giftings I think that God has given her. And I'm grateful for you, sister. And there are others in here that I think have those abilities as well. Romans chapter 12. Now we switch over to Romans 12. Here's the two primary places I think giftings are mentioned. Now, other people, they'll point to a passage in Ephesians. They're going to point to some other passages and they're going to say, well, you got the gift of shepherding. You've got the gift of, there's some other things tied in. When it talks about God giving the church, the apostles, the evangelists, the shepherd teachers, these kind of things. By the way, I don't think in scripture in particular that we're told that there's a gift of evangelism. I think there's the gift of evangelists that God gives, who are those who share the gospel and go into places where the gospel hasn't been shared. And so again, on your gifting test, you're not going to see a gift of evangelism. By the way, let me just say this to you. You've got a spiritual gifts test that we've put out there. We'll talk about it in a second, but I want you to pick that up and check that out. But here's the danger. The danger is you score really high on several things and you go, huh, I've got 4 or 5 spiritual gifts. Doubt it. Why? Because if there's 16 spiritual gifts mentioned, I don't think God gave you or me a quarter of them. Now, when I score on these, there'll be three or four that stand out. And if evangelism's on the gifts test, and again, I don't think that's a spiritual gift, mine's going to be up there because I share the gospel with people, and I appreciate doing that, and that's going to be up there. And so I used to think, I got four spiritual gifts. God doesn't need me that bad. He gives, I think, a couple of different, maybe one, maybe two giftings. Maybe there are giftings that he gives, again, moments that he needs to give you in that moment to empower you to do it. But get this, we need each other, y'all, because we got different giftings in the room. So watch this. Look at Romans chapter 12, and you'll notice the ones that are in blue are the ones that previously have been mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. The ones that are in yellow have not yet been mentioned. So he says, according to the grace given us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service or helps, right? Use it in service. If teaching, we just talked about teaching and teaching. If exhorting in exhortation, we'll talk about that in a second. Giving with generosity, leading with diligence, and we've seen that. Showing mercy with cheerfulness. And so here, for example, encouraging or exhorting. It's the same kind of word. It means to be able to console. It means to be able to encourage. The Greek word for this is actually the word parakaleo. And this is the word that we use of the paraclete. Paraclete is the Greek term used for the comforter, the Holy Spirit. And parakaleo, if you break the words down, it means to call someone to your side. It's like they're going through a difficult time. You say, come with me, I got you, right? It's this picture of someone who encourages, who's driven to build others up with words, possibly letters and physical touch. You know anybody like that? They're just really good at calling other people to their side. You know anybody like that? Aren't you grateful for encouragers? Encouragers are those that all of us love to see coming down the hallway. You know what I'm talking about, right? You got encouragers, and then, you know, Barnabas was called the son of encouragement. That's what he's called, and I don't know what you'd call the son of discouragement, maybe Barnabut. I'm not sure, but anyway. What about giving? What about giving? The other thing that he mentions is giving and to do that with generosity. Do you know anybody who loves to give from their own resources to help people? Know anybody like that? Now, this isn't a guarantee, but what I've seen is people who love to give, God often gives a lot to them. So they have resources to share with other people. And these are the kind of people that they get excited about giving to the financial needs of others. They're often, again, given these resources to then give to other people and the gift of giving. Know anybody like that? Grateful for people like that. And then there's the gift of mercy. And look what he says, again, the end here, if exhorting in exhortation, in other words, do that, you know, in a way that you encourage. If giving with generosity, hey, give big, he says. And then he says, showing mercy with what? Cheerfulness. You know anybody who has the spiritual gift of mercy? You know what mercy is? Mercy is caring for hurting people, like to a different degree. Know anybody like that? Know anybody like that? My goal isn't to call everybody out in the room and say, but as I see some of these, I start thinking of some of you. And I'm not certain this is true, but it would not surprise me at all if somebody like Mrs. Huey right there doesn't have the gift of mercy. She loves to care for hurting people. She loves to care for hurting people, and many of you do as well. These are people who, they are quick to care for those who are hurt. And here's another sign. A person with the gift of mercy often is the person that can be quick to look past somebody sinning against them, right? They get, somebody harms them, sins against them, and they're like quick to forgive because it's a supernatural ability that they have. So those are the 16 gifts, and I hope that will give you some clarity. And so what now? What are we going to do now? Here's some feet to faith I want to give you. The first thing I want to challenge you to do this week, and maybe you've done this before. I've done this before too, but I'm doing it again. I did it just the other day. I want to challenge you to look at the spiritual gifts discovery that we gave you that are each exit, if you want to pick that up. Also, on your notes page right there, at this point, there's a QR code that you can look up, and we also put on Facebook a link, and in your visual notes, there's a link that you can click that will take you to this on our Dropbox account, and you can print this out at your house and take care of this at your house. But I want to encourage you to take a look and go through this spiritual gifts discovery. Now, be clear of this. Spiritual gifts discovery is not going to give absolute clarity and go, oh, there it is. Again, I got four spiritual gifts. No, there's going to be some other things to try to help give clarity to this. And next week, we're going to talk to this more in depth, but I want you to consider how God has shaped you. I mentioned that shape is an acrostic. I think it's brilliant. It's for spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. I gave you a link, again, to check out that I encourage you to go look at. Now, that link is going to give another spiritual gifts test, but you're going to notice there's going to be a couple of spiritual gifts that we've talked about that are left out. There's going to be a couple of spiritual gifts on that test that are going to be added that I don't think need to be added. But that might help you again to do a spiritual gifts test and check that out. But it's also going to walk through and give you a personality test and kind of show your personality that God's given you. It's going to ask you to share some experiences. And I would love for you, when you get done with that, if you would share that with Christy or share that with me, send it to us. We won't tell other people about it. But that'll help give us some clarity in trying to see how can we plug you in. That'll be exciting. I asked Christy to do this the other day, and she sent it to me, and I did one as well and sent it to myself to make sure it worked. And so I want to encourage you to do that. We'll talk more about SHAPE next week. The third thing I want to challenge you to do is I want to challenge you to plug into ministry. Plug into ministry. And I love what's been said in the past. The last three letters of the word ministry is the word what? Try. Now, that's not like super spiritual. It's just significant that we go, you know what? Ministry is not about just going, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? No, guess what? Go do something, right? Go do something, and you'll find out if it's for you. We got people like Troy, that Troy has served with children's ministry, served with VBS. He was bragging on VBS, and he's like, that was wonderful, but I'm not doing it again. He said that this week at church council. You know why? Because he's like, I'm not great with kids. But get this, he tried. There were people who were in need, and he said, I'm going to go serve. But you know what Troy will do? Troy will be the one cooking, or Troy will be the one serving in some capacity to help with that event. And he sees the importance of it. He just goes, just dealing with the kids for all those hours, that just isn't my thing. That's okay. That's okay. Because you know what? Because he's ministry trying, right? And listen, some of you need to just say, how can I plug in? Let me try something. Let me figure this out. And as you do that, it's going to be really, really important because you're going to get opportunities. And speaking of, a couple of weeks from now, on the 21st, we're going to do a Connection Sunday. You can see how all this is ramping together. We go from 1 Corinthians, talk about spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about the SHAPE aspect next week. And then the week after that, Connection Sunday. And you're going to hear some stories about how people are being impacted in different ministries as they serve, as they're involved. And you're going to be challenged to get involved in groups and ministries as well. And so that's going to be a good day that we'll share in both services. I hope you'll check that out. The fourth thing is this, is that you need to listen to your faith family's affirmation. Here's what I found. I found that there are some people who think they're gifted in certain areas that they are not gifted, right? If you have somebody that they go, this is my gifting, and nobody in the body who knows them goes, yeah, it's more like, I don't think so, right? But when they serve other people in the body, for example, if it's the gift of helps or service, and they're doing it, right? And these other people see it, and they're like, that is wonderful. You know somebody's great at that I guarantee you this is her gifting? Susie Godfrey. Again, there's a pile of people in the room here we could brag on. But Susie Godfrey, she just wants to serve. She don't want spotlight. Just let me serve. Let me get in there and make it happen, right? And believers, we're like, Susie, thank you. That was wonderful. You did it much better than Jackie would have. All of y'all would have done that better than Jackie would have. But we go, that is wonderful. Thumbs up, right? In other words, here's the thing. Watch this. Don't you go take a spiritual gifts test and try to determine what your spiritual gifting is and not consider your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, your experiences, or don't not listen to other believers who are going, I don't really think that's you, or to be able to say, that's you. That's you. I think God uses believers that way. And with all that said, watch this. Romans chapter 12, where we have finished off in Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. Let me show you the same kind of language that Paul uses here as he does in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, now we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function. In the same way, we who are many are one what? Help me out. We who are many are one what? We are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And let's pray. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for the truth of Scripture. Thank you for being gracious to us. My prayer would be that every believer would recognize the gifting that you've given them, and that they would begin to use and utilize the gifting that you've given them for their good, for your glory, for the building up of your body. I pray that you would have your way in each one of their lives. We ask that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. You can hear more at fellowshipofmadison.com.